Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. Somebody actually tweeted me and said, I could totally see you doing jazz hands and fingers, like, you know, with your hands getting successively higher above your head and then ending with your fingers wiggling in the air. So that was for you, Donna.
That's a lot. Is that like more than 140 characters?
Well, you know, Twitter is trying to go higher. They're trying to do more characters now. That's a thing.
I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Jinx.
Jinx.
I don't know. I wonder what I was doing when I had all the time in the world to tweet before. I haven't been on Twitter in such a long time. Except for like when something happens and I need to get on Twitter just to get the quick take on what has occurred.
Yeah. So I'm a lazy tweeter in that, like, I typically, if I do something on Instagram, I'm like, go ahead and post that on Twitter too, boo. That's how I tweet. Yeah. So I'm always like, when someone hits me on Twitter and they say something like, oh, congrats or whatever, I'm like, for what? Oh, that lazy tweet via Instagram. although I will say, Superman, the other day, he got bad service. So, you know, we talked about, like, I don't know, a year or so ago, you know how he had the aneurysm surgeries?
Right.
And so, like, once a year, you know, he goes to go get a checkup. So they sent him to some MRI place where... so his doctor can get the results or whatever. So I guess they had him waiting for an hour and he was like, why? They're like, oh, the other MRIs are a little bit easier. So they're taking them first. And he was like, then why not just put me at 10 o'clock instead of having me come at 9 and wait for an hour? So they were giving him all this back and forth. And so he finally was like, you know, I'm just going to leave. And they were like, no, we'll get you now. Because of course, you know, they want the money from the insurance. So he was like, you know, that's crazy. You shouldn't have someone come in like that, set an appointment and make them wait just because other people have easier exams. And they were just complaining. He's like, you know what? At first they were rude at first. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to get my wife to tweet about it. And I was like, cause I told him once that like somebody had done something to me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to tweet about it. And then they gave me a refund or whatever. So he was like, I'm just going to get my wife to tweet about it. And they were like, no, I'm like, Superman, do you even know how Twitter works? He doesn't. But he was like, I don't know, but I see the fear in people's eyes when you say it. So I used it. He's like, Tiffany, they were so apologetic. Like, no, sir, we're so sorry. He said, you don't worry about it. I'm going to tweet. And I'm like, but he was like, wait, how does Twitter work? I was like, go sit down in the corner somewhere. Twitter, saving people's lives every day.
I used to think that, like, waiting 45 minutes to an hour at the doctor was like a normal experience. But then I realized you can just choose a different doctor. And some doctors are just really, like, some offices are just really dysfunctional and they just get backed up. Yep. And God, trying to get an appointment in New York City, like, it's if you need to go see a specialist and nothing is broken and you're not bleeding, like, you're going to be waiting at least a month to go see someone in New York. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And MRIs are. I was going to say MRIs are one of those things where it really matters. I mean, not just like where you get the best service, but like those are one of those health services that if you go down the block, it can be $500. If you go next door, it can be $2,000. I don't – and there's like these types of services in the healthcare industry that there's just no rhyme or reason. They just charge whatever the hell they want for the same thing.
Yep.
It's nuts.
And so thankfully, he's got really great insurance. So he – that's why they were like, no, don't be mad. Don't leave. Don't not come back, because they know that his insurance is going to pay. You know, he was just like, I just want to get checked just to make sure everything is fine. But yeah, but you're right about waiting for the doctor. Cause I wanted to go see like a fertility specialist. Cause you know, Superman and I are trying to have this baby And they were like, yeah, we'll see you in a month. I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like thinking, girl, you tried it. Going to the next one. And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll see you in a month and a half. And I was like, okay, never mind. I'll be back. A month is it? Yo, it's the norm. And so now that I've got that good insurance, I mean, I guess I have to wait. And, you know, so I'll give you all the update.
Call, my trick is always just to call and ask for cancellations. And they usually I have luck that way.
Okay. Oh, that's a good
people
idea.
People always cancel, you know?
That's
people get a little too ambitious with their health planning.
Yeah.
And then don't show up.
I never thought about that. Well, it's coming up in like a week or so, my first one. So I said, we'll see.
Hey, it's not too early to remind people about open enrollment. Most people, like at their jobs, open enrollment starts in the fall, I think. And you usually have until like mid-November or late November to finish your elections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. It is about open enrollment time.
This is the time. This is when I get to make up for that mistake we made after we got married where we missed the window to add me to my husband's health care plan. I think it was 30-day window or 60-day window. Anyway, we totally missed it. Whoops. So we had to wait for open enrollment to make any changes. But
that's right. That's the one thing we did right. It's like, because honestly, I was sweating it. I was like, so what about the health plan? Make that call. Make that call, son.
Yeah, because you were paying for Obamacare before that, right?
What? And then it lapsed because I thought that you got signed up right away. So I was like, yay, cancel everything. So I canceled. And they were like, oh, yeah, you'll have insurance, but it's going to take 30 days to kick in. I was like, oh, thanks. So, of course, during that lapse, I had to go to the doctor. Like, I had, like, this wicked stomach ache. And so I ended up going to the emergency room, which I did not want to go.
Oh, no.
But I was like, I'll be fine. My mom's a nurse. And she was like, are you crazy? So you just rather die? I'm like, I have another week before my insurance kicks in. She's like, oh, so you'll just die. So I went, and it just turned out, honestly, I don't know what it is. They thought maybe I had, like, a kidney like stone or something like that, but it ended up not being anything crazy. I likely ate something. They couldn't really find anything. And like after giving me something to soothe my stomach the next day, I was okay. But I'd been suffering with it for like the weekend. And I was like, yo, I feel like I'm dying on the inside. And so I, it ended up being my bill ended up being with all of the tests that they ran $10,000. And then they like whittled it down, like with me actually owing about 2,000. But I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God. My heart stopped when you said $10,000.
Yes, I saw the bill and I was like, wait a minute. Well, and they were like, but you, go ahead. I have to pay $2,000.
That's crazy. Well, I wanted to say one quick thing because earlier when you were like, well, you know, he has that good insurance and it'll cover whatever the MRI is, no matter what the cost is. I think you don't realize how important it is for these healthcare services to get their costs in line until you don't have insurance and you have to pay the sticker price. Because I think so many of us who are fortunate enough to have that, you know, insurance that'll cover anything, like I never used to think about how much anything cost. And I think a lot of us were in that, or who have insurance are like in that little like naive headspace or whatever. But the crazy way that healthcare services are raising in prices and these pharmaceutical companies and these insurance companies can charge these crazy rates is not good for anybody. It just drives sorts of healthcare. It drives insurance prices higher, you know, on our premiums. It makes healthcare more unaffordable if you don't have insurance. It's just a mess.
And it's scary because honestly, there was tests that they wanted to run that I was like, yeah, I'm good. And my mom was with me at the hospital and she was like, you know, the nurse in her was like, no, run it. I'm looking at her like, ma'am, do you have money? Do you have run it money? I felt like the adult, like, do you have McDonald's money? You know, like when you went McDonald's as a kid and your mom was like, we got food at home. I was like, we don't need that test. Money. I know. So they're running all these tests. Yo, I'm telling you, I felt worse only because, like, I was like, I swear that, like, I'm going to have a heart attack in here because every time they had me run something, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to afford this bill. Oh my gosh. So they like ran every little thing. And they're like, oh, so basically, Donna, you're fine. Did you eat something? I was like, I think I'm going to throw up.
Had some Pepto.
So when I got that, I know, basically. Oh, the Pepto's $50, by the way. And so, yeah. So, no, I totally understand what it feels like to, like, not want to actually even go get service because you're just like, I literally can't afford to be well.
Oh, yeah. My dad has, so my poor dad. It's a miracle he's, like, all in one piece. But because he never had insurance, he didn't have insurance until Obamacare. And he would, his teeth were falling. I'm not trying to put his business out there, but he was like falling apart. And so as soon as he got Obamacare, he went and got, you know, this is part of the reason why people are saying Obamacare plans are expensive, because a lot of people like my father, who went from having no insurance to having all the insurance, were like walking into doctors like it was supermarket sweeps and was like, give me that, give me that, give me that. I'll take a gastric bypass surgery, I mean, which cured his diabetes and like all these great services. But unfortunately, not as many healthy people were signing up for insurance. And like that's sort of what's skewing, like what sort of had in a lot of places has led to sort of the, you know, quote unquote expensive like Obamacare plans. Because when enough young, healthy people don't sign up, that's what happens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, blame my daddy.
Blame it on my daddy. So speaking of putting the blame on someone, let's talk about 45.
Oh, can we? Oh, okay, fine.
What a week. Just in the context of Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Oh, yeah. Thank God for Lin-Manuel Miranda, who I love him so much. I have such a intellectual crush on him. It's not even funny. But yeah, you brought it up, so you get this is your moment, shine.
No, I'm just gonna say, Puerto Rican people, one, I know that you are part of the United States of America, even though I think wasn't there a poll like 47% of folks did not know that Puerto Rico was part of the United States?
That almost seemed low to me. But yeah, definitely, like a lot of people don't understand where Puerto Rico and America makes sense.
So one, that's a thing. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. They're citizens. Two, like for the president to attack the mayor of San Juan, like I don't even know that she was overly critical other than, hey, we'd really like some more aid and help. I mean, like, I don't know how you ask for that without saying, hey, we'd like some more aid and help. And then when he came and he was like, how many people died? Oh, not that many people died. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? And then when he threw the paper towel into the crowd, I was like, is this real life right now?
Wait, he threw a paper towel into the crowd? I haven't watched any video of his visit today.
Don't. Honestly, it is sickening. So one, he basically compares Puerto Rico to Katrina and says, basically, you guys didn't suffer as much as they did. Right. So there's a crowd of like, you know, Puerto Ricans like watching the press conference or whatever. And he throws a paper towel into the crowd. Like, I'm not certain like what that was supposed to do. Was that, here's your aid? He lobs it into the crowd like, ow, here y'all go. Almost like Beyonce, like throwing like her, you know, I don't know, a t-shirt into the crowd for them to like go wild and crazy. I'm uncertain on the reasoning, but I don't know if reasoning and 45 have anything to do with each other.
No.
It was crazy. And I'm just gonna leave it real light because I feel like, ugh, I just can't. Like, whenever I listen to him talk, honestly, I really feel I get anxious. And I'm just like, Tiffany, let's not do this. Let's not do this. Let's not do this. I can't do it.
Oh, well, let's do a little bit. Let's do a little bit. Because here's what got me up in arms. And this is the same comment that Lin-Manuel Miranda landed himself on the cover of the New York Daily News with his response. But Trump tweeted in all his buffoonery that Puerto Ricans want everyone to do everything for them. Like they're complaining that they aren't getting enough aid and they just want people to do everything for them. And my immediate reaction is like Lin-Manuel, his reaction was basically like, you know, you're going straight to hell. It was like he just unleashed on him. But it is just, it's so infuriating, his response, for like multiple reasons. Because I think one of the biggest for me is the history of old white politicians, Republican politicians for the most part, characterizing people in need, brown people who are in need, as taking advantage of federal services, as if they don't deserve them as much as like other Americans. And that's what pissed me off, is just that he's so good at pandering to his base. He knows what to say. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm going to excuse myself because I'm just going to characterize them as these other brown people on this island over here. You know, for all his base knows, they're probably just, you know, Mexicans who can swim and made it across, you know, like, or live on some island. Like, that's what they think. They're so ignorant. And I just know that by him saying that, he's just feeding more fuel to that fire, to that prejudice. And that for me was like, that was my get at this, that was my like shut down on Trump moment for the weekend when he said that.
Yeah, No, but you're right. It was very much like, oh boy, here goes these begging Browns again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how this works. Like, people can be in need of help. And it's, I mean, I don't understand. It's a hurricane. It's a storm. The island is in desperate need of help. How does that turn into, like, y'all always begging for something? It's just, honestly, I'm just like, what is happening? You ever just think about that? You wake up and you're like, wait, where am I? In America? Wait, what is happening? Is this a real thing? Is this a real person?
I did yesterday. I did that thing where I woke up late. I took a shower and I was like running around and I just happened to glance at the TV because husband was watching and it had the Las Vegas shooting. And I had a moment where I was like, what? This isn't a real story. Or like watching Homeland or some like TV show. For like 5 seconds, I didn't think that what I was seeing was real. And it
was real, right? Mm-hmm.
I can't.
And that's how.
Something about the Vegas shooting. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know,
yes.
Of course, you know, ever since Sandy Hook, I think a lot of people have felt, okay, well, if 26 dead children couldn't change anything, you know, nothing's going to happen. I was in that camp for a while, but something about yesterday with Vegas, I don't know. I got several texts from friends who were just really shaken up about it. And I don't know what it is. I think for me, you know, there and things that have happened in New York recently, because I live here, I feel like you put up a tough front in New York, you're like, you know, of course we're, you know, major target and anything can happen at any moment and you just got to like live your life anyway. But with this shooting, with all the, like the cars running people over in yes. Europe and other countries. And we had that maniac in Times Square who ran over a bunch of people. Yeah. We had that Chelsea bombing that was less than a year ago. That was like 3 blocks from where I work. And I feel like the rising level of awareness that at any moment, some lunatic.
At any moment.
Yeah. It's just so hard to prevent. I mean, gun control is one thing, but one crazy person with a bad intention, I mean, like it's like needle in a haystack. And I think that feeling of like not being in control and just that like anxiety is creeping up on our people. And something about this attack just felt like, I don't know, apart from it being one of the most brutal in our country's history, it felt especially bad.
I think, you know what I would really twisted the knife for the attack for me is like the way that they are discussing the terrorist, because let's say that what it is, because it's just, it's so crazy. Oh, he's a lone wolf. Oh, you know, he wasn't acting. If this had been, imagine if he had been Muslim, oh my goodness, or brown, like how they would have described. When I saw that the Washington Post, that their title or one of their articles, the headline for their article was Las Vegas gunman Stephen Paddock enjoyed gambling, country music, lived a quiet life before massacre. What does that mean? I'm sorry. How nice for him. How nice for him that his trivial pastimes are remembered after murdering 59 people and injuring hundreds of others. How nice that we get to know that he loved country music and lived a quiet life. Are you kidding? Trayvon Martin was a kid and he was a thug. Like, Eric Garner was selling Lucy's and he was a thug. Like, we knew all these. I didn't know about their pastimes and what they'd like to do when they were hanging out. Why is it that this clear murderer and terrorist is given that space of normalizing him? You know, like when it's anyone else, when a brown person is literally criminalized for being murdered, Sandra Bland, you're digging up, oh, you know, one time in second grade, Sandra Bland, you know, she hit her friend. So you already knew this was going to happen. So the fact that she got murdered is really kind of her fault. But this clear murderer, this terrorist is given that, you know, like the way he's being described when they're interviewing his brother. Did he have mental illness? You didn't ask that of anyone else that was killed and murdered. And I'm just like, wow. Honestly, sometimes I'm sick of this country. Like, this is why things continue. Is that and I'm not even trying to be polarizing. It just is what it is that if he had been anything other than a white man, the truth of the matter is the way that they're discussing him, they would not be discussing him in this way. They would not. They would not be giving him all the space and room to be human, to be, oh, you know, he was a troubled man. Oh, you think? He killed 50 people. I just, like, just reading headlines like that from semi-reputable media outlets just really like boils my blood, because I'm just like, are you kidding me? He liked country music and gambling and lived a quiet life. But meanwhile, you call a kid a thug because a thug killed him? Like, yeah, it's just, I'm over it, honestly.
I see what you're saying. I think one reason they haven't used the word terrorist is, like, a lot of what you said about the way that they've characterized people who've died who of color and people who have been killed who are of color is right. But the thing about terrorism that I understand why they haven't labeled him a terrorist, because technically terrorism is when it's politically motivated and they have no idea what the hell his motive was yet. And like, although the Islamic State has claimed him, they also claim a lot of buffoonery that, you know, and violence that isn't actually, you know, part of their doing. They haven't found any proof yet that it was terrorism. I think they're still looking, and I don't know. I kind of want to give them time. I'm happy that they're not jumping to a terrorist conclusion. Now I do think that he's getting a lot more space and they have been a lot more hesitant because he is a white man. I totally agree. I think that if he had been brown or any racially ambiguous color or like had a weird last name, I think I think the talk of terrorism would have been much more quick and cautious.
Exactly. They would have used no caution to call him a terrorist from the rip. Cause at first they were like, do you think it's ISIS? And then when they were like, oh, okay, no, even though ISIS claimed responsibility, you know, because like you said, they always do. They were like, oh no, because you're right. Maybe technically he's not considered a terrorist, but I guarantee that if he was anything other than a white male, they would have used that without any hesitation. And I guess that's what it's, whether technical or not,
he was a suspected terrorist or at least the question would have come up a lot more, but you know, we can only assume. I think, but in terms of like the profile of a mass shooter in America, he's almost a textbook definition, other than the fact that he's not 22 years old. He's a white male, and more like the majority of mass shootings in America have been caused by white men, like, and people don't want to acknowledge that. So I don't know. I that's what I've been seeing in people at news reports, like, oh, he doesn't fit the profile, you know, of a typical, like,
yeah, he does,
you know, mass shooter. I don't know, a loner. It seems like he was a loner. It seems like he's a white guy, you know. He had, I think it's his whole, I don't know. I just feel like we're still trying to figure out who he is. I mean, I give a lot of credit. But one thing happens so fast, and I do give a lot of credit because I know how hard people are working to get stories of the victims. And today, this was what, day three since the attack? This is the second full day since the attack. Today I saw a lot of stories. Maybe it's just because I was choosing to see them of stories of the people who were of the 59, right? Something like 59 who died.
Yeah, 59. Mm-hmm.
Starting to come. And I don't know. I'm glad that they're getting some attention, but I agree. It's really important how they characterize these shooters. And yeah, I think your frustration is well placed. Not that you needed me to validate you, but I agree.
I know. But it's just so frustrating because you're just like, really? Like, so I can kill someone and be humanized, but I can be killed and be demonized. And it's all about, you know, what I look like. I'm over it. That should be the way we should close off the buzzworthy.
Well, I think our hearts go out to the victims.
Yes.
In Vegas, people still struggling in Puerto Rico. I don't know. Hug a loved one. It really... You know, forget all the politics, forget all the, you know, all of this is like valid. But I think at the end of the day, it's just a reminder too, that every day is a gift. Nothing is for certain. And I don't know, our politicians aren't going to be protecting us from types of gun violence, apparently. So don't take any day for granted.
And do something. I always think this, that like my philosophy is like, if I can help like the people in my most immediate sphere, like the people, you know, like I watch Superman, like help the kids next door and, you know, put air in this one's bike and, you know, order an extra uniform when he orders his daughter's uniform, that kind of thing. And that radiates outward, you know? And so sometimes, you know, people think that like, oh, you've got to do these huge overtures. And I'm really learning that, you know, that that's not necessarily true, that you don't necessarily have to make these huge overtures, that like looking after the little kids on your block or making sure the old lady down the street, you know, is okay in the winter and all those things matter. And you can start to radiate positivity right where you are.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. Amen, sister friend.
Now it's time to break or boost for all our family. Break or boost, boost or break. What will it be, Mandy? Ah, that was awesome.
That was top three jingles. Because it actually rhymed.
I don't know where it came from. And I'm not going to lie. As I was nearing to the close, I was like, don't blow the sippy. Don't you blow this. And then your name popped into my head. And I said, it rhymes. Just do it. Just do it. Be calm. So I have to say, I'm feeling very proud of myself.
All right, Jay-Z. Watch out.
So are you going to break? Are you going to boost?
I need to add an addendum to my break from last week. Remember when I took a break from meal prep? I said it was stupid. I said I was exhausted. I said it was the worst. I said these mommy bloggers have no idea what they're talking about. No, they didn't come for me. I didn't actually call them out, so maybe now they will. Remember I gave that boost on like Monday when we were recording, and I actually hadn't had a week to eat my prepped meals. And actually, by like day three, when I was so relieved to actually have food in the fridge for dinner, I was like, all right, maybe I kind of understand why people do meal prep. Because I had food to eat when I was too tired to cook. And I got it. And I don't know why I spoke too soon. And I apologize to the meal prep fans of America. This week, I did not do such an ambitious meal prep. There was no spaghetti squash and like 13 different, you know, types of vegetables. I just bake some salmon and I just have it for dinner. You know, it's just very simple. So I simplified and it's going much better. But I'm still eating out for lunch. I'm letting myself eat out for lunch. I'm paying more attention to what I'm eating for dinner, like at home, because I didn't get home so late. So I take it back.
That's good. So thanks. I'm glad because you're right. Meal prep is, I mean, it can be overwhelming sometimes because you're right. You're like, wait, I have to chop and skip and you know, but more and more now that I'm, which I like this new term, a vanity vegan, and I accept it. I embrace it.
Wait, what?
I'm a vanity vegan. That's what someone called me. I was like, girl, you ain't say nothing but a word. You ain't hurt my feelings.
What does that
mean? So a vanity vegan. So most vegans, from like doing a little research meaning like I'm part of one Facebook group, so whatever, that most vegans, I guess to be a true vegan, you're doing it for the animals. Oh. And like, yeah, you're like the health is secondary. It's like, no, I want to save the animals. And although I do like animals, and I'm not saying that I don't want the animals to be healthy, I do. My primary reason for being vegan is one, to be snatched, two, to be healthier. Three, you know, hey, yes, I would like the animals not to have a terrible life. But I'm not going to lie. I'm honest here. Snatchness is high on the list. So someone was like, girl, you're a vanity vegan. I said, I will take it. So I'm a vanity vegan. And so meal prep is definitely helpful because I can't, like, if I don't, honestly, I go darn near hungry at night or I have to eat, like, cereal with almond milk. So if I don't like kind of like decide like, you know, Tiffany, let's chop up. Like I've had cauliflower rice for the first time, but I had to chop it up. It was actually really good. But, you know, I have to plan in advance.
Pro tip. Trader Joe sells it.
Yeah, you know who sells it too?
Who?
Who? ShopRite sells it too.
Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. So I tried it and I actually really liked it. I made myself this like Santa Fe bowl, which is like typically that would be like rice and it would be like all these kind of like quote unquote air quotes Mexican like beans and like tomatoes and guac and sour cream, all that kind of stuff and cheese. So I did with cauliflower rice and I put beans and corn and no cheese, obviously no sour cream, but guac. And what else did I have on it? It was really good, honestly. So it was like a Santa Fe bowl without any dairy or any meat. Basically, it was like a bowl of veggies. And it was so delicious, honestly. So delicious. It's one of my new favorite warm dishes where it's basically a bowl of vegetables, but it doesn't kind of taste like it. It tastes like you might be having like, you know, a rice and beans bowl, but you're really not. You're just eating vegetables.
That sounds tasty. So, I love me some avocado. It was.
Yes. Ooh, yes. Guac is the best. So here's my, I'm not going to boost. I've been boosting lately, which is good, but I'm going to break. And it's a little lighthearted break, but I'm sick of it. Okay. So here's what I'm sick of. I'm sick of everyone pumpkin spicing every daggone thing. When I went to the supermarket and I saw they had Cheerios, pumpkin spice Cheerios, I said, I've had enough. I get it. It's fall. I think, what did pumpkin spice start? Did it start with the latte at Starbucks? Is that who started this whole trend of pumpkin spicing thing?
I mean, Lord knows Yankee Candles probably had a pumpkin spice candle for decades. But yes, I think Starbucks, the flavoring of pumpkin spice, we can blame that on Starbucks and basic bitches.
Yes, and I'm sick of it. I've actually found like a bunch of hilarious memes like Tampax, pumpkin spice. They have pumpkin spice Xanax.
I'm so excited that you broke on this. Actually, you kind of stole my break for next week, but I'm gonna let you have it because because I had the exact same thought. Me and my team at Magnify Money, and earlier this month, we sent out our reporter Brittany. Shout out to Brittany to seven different grocery stores, and we had her look at 200 different products: the pumpkin spice version and the regular version, and we calculated how much retailers are charging for pumpkin spice taxes. That's what I'm calling it. So that's like the upcharge that they put on products when they're pumpkin spice. Yes. Guess. This is a sneak peek because we have not released this. We have not released the results of the study yet. And I'm probably going to be in trouble because it's supposed to be under embargo. But whatever, you can get a little taste. So here's the thing, like the worst offender for pumpkin spice taxes was Trader Joe's, like hands down, my baby Trader Joe's. Just for an example, here's one of the most infuriating things, because not only are some businesses charging more for pumpkin spice products, they're giving you less of the product and they have the audacity to charge more for it. So have you ever heard of, so you just said pumpkin spice cereal, right? So, yeah. For example, Trader Joe's has regular Trader Joe's O's, which is like their Cheerios, 15 ounces for $1.99. Pumpkin O's, for 12 ounces, at 3 ounces less, it costs $2.69. So, 70 cents more for 3 ounces less. That's a 69% pumpkin spice tax rate per ounce. You're welcome, America. We're all being screwed.
Yeah, we are. And I'm over it. They have pumpkin spice Oreo cookies. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to hear how much more they charge for the Oreo pumpkin spice? I mean, the pumpkin spice Oreo? It's a 33% pumpkin spice rate, pumpkin spice tax rate on the Oreos pumpkin spice flavor at Target. 33% more.
Wow, that's a lot.
You get 4 ounces less.
Yeah, I can't. I'm closing. It was the Cheerios that did me in. Because I was like walking down the aisle and I'm like, wait, what? I see a big old pumpkin on a Cheerios box. I said, that doesn't belong there. I saw it and I wanted to take my arm, pull it out straight and put a fist at the end and just drag my arm across the shelf and then knock it all down and just run and say, no more pumpkin spice! Revolt, revolt, resist! I didn't. Instead, I just disgusted. And I said to myself, this shall be my brown break.
You don't want 130. You don't want to pay 133% tax rate on pumpkin spice pancake mix from Trader Joe's?
Yo, that is so great.
You get 10 ounces less than the real version, and you pay a dollar more.
That is just, I'm like, you know, I always think this. So, you know, because we live in the Northeast, right? So I'm like, so quote unquote, I guess you could call it spoiled by the fact that we have seasons in the way like they are like in the book, you know, like, hey, fall gets chilly and the leaves turn colors. So do they pumpkin spice it up in like California and places where the seasons are not like ours? They have their own kind of seasons?
Oh, I don't know.
I know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always curious.
Maybe
like,
they do even more because they don't have the seasons and they want to pretend like they do. Although it does get cold in LA, in like California. It gets cold at night. It's a desert.
So I just wonder that like, huh, like for places like, you know, when we have these super seasonal items, do places that kind of, they don't have the fluctuating weather that we have. I wonder if, you know, they're like, girl, like say Hawaii. They're like, girl, get out of here with this pumpkin spice. It's the same all year round. Beautiful. So I'm just curious about that. Just wonder, just a little wondering.
There's basic bitches everywhere, I'm sure. It's made it around the round. Well, you're welcome for the sneak peek at our pumpkin spice tax story.
Yes, I definitely want to read it.
I get so mad talking about it. All right. Well, anyway, moving on.
Question. So who today needs to get their life together that we can only dream to help?
That's a good way of putting it.
I know, right? I'm like, in other words, we're not experts. I mean, well, meaning like, you need a lawyer or a doctor or a nurse or whatever. We're just here to give friendly girlfriend advice that you should run by an expert that you're paying money to.
Sometimes.
I felt like that's our disclosure for girl. Someone asked me the other day something about like, well, when you tell us stuff, should we just do it? I said, girl, I'm not Jesus. No.
I don't want a letter from your lawyer saying we followed your advice from episode 62.5 and you told us to do XYZ and now we're broke. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Do your Googles, do your discernment. Like, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not God. I'm merely someone who will vet it for what I need and then I'll pass it along. And then you can decide, you should vet it even further and then decide for yourself, child. Talking about if I share, should I just do it?
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, in all seriousness, when I'm reviewing questions, if it is too complex for us or if it's beyond what I think is our general like knowledge, I typically refer people to sources that they can use instead or refer them to, you know, talk to an expert. So anyway, you don't have to worry. I mean, I feel like the questions we answer on the show are pretty much in line with what we know, at least enough to get people started.
Very true.
With that being said, send us your questions. Go to brunambitionpodcast.com. Click on Ask Us Anything. You can be anonymous. We will not be outing anyone's financial ghosts on the show. But yeah, we have a couple of questions for today. We'll try. Maybe we can get through two. So this listener messaged us. She says, I had an apartment in my name. I think she wants to remain anonymous, so I won't reveal her name. She says, I had an apartment in my name for a relative. This was before I got Credit Smart. They moved out of the apartment and broke the lease. I didn't know they moved out, and they didn't let me know. A few months later, I got a credit collection letter in the mail, furious, but I paid it off in full. Later, I found out that there was a judgment filed with the county courts when I tried to get an apartment myself a few years later. I was told I could have the judgment lifted by reporting by the credit reporting company. And recently, they did submit an update to the courts. However, the update just said it was dismissed without prejudice, which I later found out means that they can actually reopen the case if they wanted to. It should have been filed as dismissed with prejudice, meaning the case is closed and the balance is paid in full. Do you have any suggestions on how to resolve this and have it removed from my credit report?
Well, one, she's right, because I did my Googles as far as this, like the difference between dismissed without and dismissed with prejudice. Mm-hmm. But what my Googles also revealed to me, and I asked one of my friends who's a lawyer, we were just like Facebook chatting, so I was asking her. She said that typically when something is dismissed without prejudice, it means that they can refile once, but there's a statute of limitations, meaning like it has to be filed within a certain time period. So if you can find out in your state, like, you know, do like a Google search, because even though it was dismissed without prejudice, if that statute, if it's 6 months, if it's a year, whatever, if that time has passed, you don't have to worry about them trying to come back and get money from you. But because I can understand your nervousness. My assumption is that you're nervous that they might come back and be like, psych, we want our money, even though you paid. So one, you know, it might not, if it was a year ago or whatever, and you're like, oh, it's past the statute. They, even though it was dismissed without prejudice, they can't come back because that time has expired. Then I wouldn't worry about that if the time has expired, unless that wording is keeping you from getting an apartment. But if it's still within that time, I would think that you would go back to the credit company, right? And say, hey, why is it like this? Or go back to the court system and say, why is it still kind of like pending and open? You know, who do I need to speak to in order to get that fixed?
Yeah, or ask if they can put a note, even if they have to keep the with prejudice there, with prejudice, but balance paid in full. My only concern is I don't know that she'll ever get it off her credit report. I mean, it's legitimate. You know, your name was on the apartment. It's your credit, unfortunately. I think, and she says it's been a few years later, so that might mean that you have a few more years of this being on your credit report. So unfortunately, there's probably not a way for you to get it off your credit report, but maybe there's a way for them to at least note on their balance paid in full, so that the next time you apply for an apartment, you can at least, you can defend yourself and say, well, I paid it in full, and try to, you know, explain yourself to whoever's doing the background check. Yeah. My good friend actually was just searching for an apartment in New York, and this might be a case where someone has a similar name to her, and I wonder if this has happened to anyone else, but she, apparently these people who like own this apartment are really sticklers for background checks, and they did this crazy check, and it turns out like she found, or they said that she had a similar mark, or like a judgment in like a county back in Georgia where she's from over 10 years ago, from missing a bunch of rent payments. And it wasn't on her credit report, but they had filed a claim in court apparently with the county. And this had come up in a background check for an apartment all these years later, and it wasn't her. And she was she had to move on to a different apartment because she tried calling the county, she tried calling the court, she called all these people to try and figure out. And even though the court, the county, whoever she called said they couldn't find the same record that this background check found, there really wasn't anything she could do, and it wasn't on her credit report. It was just stopping her from getting an apartment, which sucked. All she could do was just, you know, give up on that apartment and try to find another one where they weren't going to do such a crazy, I don't know,
background check. Ooh, no, it is weird. So, you know, that brought up, reminded me, remember I talked about last week how, for in order for Superman and I to close on the house, we have to do the title search, mm-hmm. and it pulled up some old ticket or whatever he had for $100-something.
Right.
So it turns out, cause I was like, wait, so I was asking, I'm like, it seems weird that like, why would we have to pay this in order to move forward? We don't. So that he can leave that $100-something thousand, forget it. I'd be like, boy, I'm out. I'm out. Or your neighbor's off this. But it was like $108. So that it's not that he had to pay it because we're buying the house cash. But what happens is, if we were getting a mortgage, the mortgage company may not give us the mortgage because to them that, because he owed and he'd be an owner of the house, that would be a lien against the property that would have to be satisfied if we decide to sell it. You see what I mean? So I said, we're going to pay it because, you know, like, why have that sitting there? So if we wanted to refinance, for example, the big thing for mortgage companies is if one day you can't pay, we have to take this house back from you and sell it. We want to make sure that we get our money back. So if there's any lien against your name, we don't want anyone coming at you being like, oh, her, you're selling a house. We need our money back as well. And so I was like, oh, so technically, like I said, we don't have to pay that. But I just wanted to give an update because it was like news to me that we don't have to pay it, but it might hold us up if we were getting a mortgage or refinancing later on in the future.
Is there any way that you could have found that out yourself? Like if you wanted to, because we got a question about that same thing about what happened to Superman from a listener who wanted to know if she wants to, because she's thinking of buying a house, if she wants to run her own check, like, is there a way, do you know how they found it and if she could do her, or do title search companies just have their own, you know,
I don't know, honestly,
search tools?
I was shocked. So I don't even like, because I, you know, we checked his credit, and even when we were going to get a more expensive house, we were going to get a mortgage, even when, cause we hadn't done a full title search before, but we had definitely like started to do the basic mortgage thing. Like they ran his credit. None of that came up. So it's, I'm not going to lie, I don't know. I didn't even, you know, he was like, what, $108? I was like, you know, so honestly, I don't know how they found it. It didn't come up on his credit. It didn't show up any other time. I don't know. It's almost like a title search. They look at your what the court is saying. That's what it looks like, because like I said before, they were like people who owe child support, people who like owe probation and stuff like that. So this was like an outstanding ticket. So it's almost like that. And I mean, like I said, don't quote me because I don't know for sure, but it, just looking at the other folks who had similar names to him that weren't him, they all seem like court related fines that were pulled up. And so I don't know, honestly. So I might do a Google search, and what I can do is ask my title company, like, you know, well, I don't know that they tell me, like, how do I do this myself? Like, so, but I can certainly ask my realtor, who's amazing. Like, you know, is there a way to kind of pull this up ahead of time?
All right. Let us know what they find out.
Yes, Lord. I can't wait till we close. It's just one thing after another thing after another thing. Like, what's a COO? You have to get like a certificate of occupancy. Like, you have to get like the firehouse to come out and make sure that your house is not like dangerous and all this other stuff before you can buy it. So there are all of these things that kind of are not obstacles, but I didn't realize these things that you have to do before you actually close. It's not just enough to say, hey, I have cash, take my money. No, there are things that have to happen, at least in the state of New Jersey and in Newark. So I don't know what other states do differently, but I have to get a COO that's $250. But luckily, Amina, my realtor, negotiated for the bank to pay that. And so that way, you know, we'll get the whoever in to come in and say, yes, this house is safe. Here's your certificate of occupancy. And then we can close and give them even more money to close, which is like, yay.
All right. Well, good luck. It seems like things will be smooth sailing. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Never mind. Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx you.
Well, honestly, we're going to get that. I'm not worried, but I know that like after this, it's going to be all about renovating. So I'm sure there's going to be delightful stories of, oh my God, we found it, like, you know, a pack of wild raccoon living in the ceiling.
Raccoons are better than termites, so, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can just scare them away. Keep one as a pet. Raccoons are very trendy now. They're all over Instagram. All right, you have a date. You need to go. You need to move.
I know I do. All right, so let's do our wins. What you want to win for?
Michelle, so I want to do my win for the 25th anniversary of my president and my first lady, Michelle and Barack Obama. What is the 25th anniversary? Is that your silver?
I don't know.
There's always materials that go with each anniversary.
Yeah, there's like I think diamond is like 50th, right?
Yeah. Something like that. But 25 years sounds like a lifetime. I mean, it is a lifetime. So congratulations. They are still couple goals. They are still adult goals, life goals. They are everything. And I say this because I feel like Michelle is she's finally coming a little bit back out in the spotlight. Did you see she did a talk at some conference with like Shonda Rhimes, and she really is opening up about being first lady. I cannot wait for her book to come out. I know why she's been so quiet, because she's like, I'm going to save all the tea for my book. And then it shall be spilled, and I will make millions of dollars, which I, you know, she should bank millions of dollars off of it, but can't wait. I think the book is coming out early next year.
Oh, I can't wait. Like, honestly, you're right. I'd love to hear the tea. The Tay-Tay. Yeah, I'd love that.
I got Hillary's book. I can't wait to read hers.
I wonder what she's, like, what's her book? Is her book about, like, specifically about the election, or just in general?
I'm on page 5, and it's 500 pages, but in the first few pages, I mean, I wanted to read it because I kept reading everyone's opinion about it. And I'm like, no one's read this book yet. Like, it's 500 pages. It just came out a week ago. People need to actually read it first. But no, it is. It's like her. It's I think what it is. I just reading her author's note at the beginning. I understand why she wrote it. And yeah, there's a lot of people who are upset. They're like, well, she needs to sit down and shut up. She lost the election. We need to move on. She's just a sore loser. You know, she wants to take a chance to blame everyone but herself. But honestly, I think what she wants is, you know how the winners in history are the ones who write history. I think this is her saying, I'm not going to let this winner write the history books the way he wants them. I'm going to put my voice out there. I'm going to tell the story as I saw it, and my perspective matters, and it should be out there. And I was the first female to ever be nominated by a major party for president, and that matters. And I want to tell that story. And yeah, I think, of course, it also covers everything that, you know, what happened in the election, but she also is talking about what's happened after. She talks about being there at the inaugural and how sick she felt and how she almost didn't go to the inaugural. So it's juicy. And I don't know. I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm interested. I think, yeah, it shouldn't just be. Lord knows I don't want the only record of this election to be
at all
Clockwork Orange in the White House.
Oh my God, that's like the perfect name for him. Clockwork Orange. Well, my win, it's going to be a little bit of a personal win. And I think a lot of women can kind of relate that. I was going to actually do, First Lady and President Barack, but I was like, oh, Mandy's a thief, so whatever. Aww. Since I stole pumpkin spice from you, I was like, whatever, I'll take it.
We share.
So my win is just like a little bit personal because I am getting better at, and I don't know if women, I mean, maybe not you, because I feel like you've someone who's not easily as intimidated, because surprisingly, even though I have my own business, I can easily be, I don't know if intimidated is the word, but I'm a let's not bite. Let's just say you got it type of person, you know? So I used to hire what I would call, or not even just hire, but I used to have at least one, what I call a bully friend. And I've noticed that this has been a trend since I was a kid. Like, there was always somebody in my life who was my friend, but there was an edge of bulliness in that, you know, where I was like, whenever they came around, I'd be like, oh my God, it's my bully friend. Hey girl. Hey, yeah, whatever you want. It's fine. You know, I'll sit in the back. No, it's no problem. You can take the bigger share. I'll get the middle seat. And I don't know what it is or what it is about that person's personality that they would not necessarily bully other people. But there was something in them and something in me. When we got together, I became like subservient and they became like kind of a bully. And I wouldn't see them do that to other people. And I always wondered like, wow, what is that? So I have finally recognized it because it was a friend of mine who told me that. He was like, why do you let such talk to you that way? And I'm like what? They're like, I don't know, crazy. I'm like, do they? They're like, yeah. So just recently I have been really cleaning out because one of my best friends in high school was a bully friend. It was awesome at first. We were best friends. Everything was great. And then it's almost like maybe I let her say something to me sideways and I let it slide. And then it grew. By the time we graduated college, she was terrible to me anyway. And it took everything in me to kind of let her go. But I recognized that like every once in a while, I'd pick up a new bully friend, whether it was somebody who I was working with or, you know, something like that. And so recently I really started to clean up the bully friends or just even bully coworkers or bully partners or whatever in my life and gotten rid of them. And like I said, not because they're super terrible people. I'm not even going to say that. There's just sometimes there's, and I don't know where that comes from in me. I don't know if it's because I'm like from a big family. I don't know if that my dad had a really strong personality and I learned to just be like easygoing, like it's fine. Like, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't come out a whole lot. But every once in a while, there's just someone who does that. So like,
sorry, maybe they're just assholes and you're nice. Like, why does it have... Why are you blaming yourself?
You know what? And
maybe they're just jerks.
And you know what? And it's easy to dismiss it at that. But honestly, oftentimes, like, it doesn't start off that way. Or I won't see them be like that with everyone. And I'm like, and I used to think to myself, like, when I was kind of like engaged in that kind of weird dynamic, they're like, Tiffany, you have to stand up for yourself. Or Tiffany, you have to figure out, like, how do you conquer this? But now I'm realizing at the age I am now, I'm not trying to conquer it. Just get out. Like, I'm not trying to figure out like why we had this weird dynamic or how we started off so great and now you're so mean or now you talk slick to me when we get on the phone and I'm like, what the hell? How do we get here? Honestly, I don't care anymore. I don't care about the backstory. I've just learned to clean out. And so just recently I've done a lot of cleaning out. And today someone who like is on my team really remarked upon how different I am now that we've done a lot of cleaning. And pruning. And she was like, yo, you're like amazing. I'm like, what? She's like, your leadership style, your energy, everything's been amazing. And I'm like, wow. So it's making this huge difference in that that's a dark cloud. And once I'm able to release myself from these type of people personally and professionally, you know, I can really like, I mean, I think it seems so obvious, but it's hard, you know, and I didn't even recognize that was something that I was doing because just the other day I almost hired a bully. And because this person brought so much to the table And I don't even think, you know, they don't know this, but they brought so much to the table. I thought, wow, this person is great. Like, I'm reading through resumes and I did a bunch of interviews and I was like, wow, this person is awesome. This person's great. But then after like talking to a bunch of people on the phone, I was like, wow, this person is very aggressive and slightly irreverent. And I realized that, Tiffany, this is a bully. This is a bully. Do not bring this person into your life. No, you just got rid of all of your bully friends. No more. And so, you know, even though her credentials were amazing, I said no, because it's possible to be both well-credentialed and talented and nice.
Oh, and so, yeah. And that's a poison. That's a poisonous person. It's a toxicity that's going to seep through every I learned this the hard way. Last year when I hired this investigative reporter who was so well credentialed, and he was older and he was very tough and like rugged, like what you think of as an investigative reporter. And our conversations were great. And as soon as he came in the office to be interviewed or just to chat with and meet the two co-founders of our company who are both male, it was like I wasn't in the room, and he completely walked, ignored sort of what I was there. And then I hired him anyway, feeling like, okay, well, it'll be fine. And when I tell you, like, he would try and bully me by getting around me and going to the men, going to the co-founders who don't oversee the editorial content. You know, I was his boss, and he would literally go around me. And I was like, and this is the first time I will learn this lesson. I'm going to try and make it be the last. That's one thing I thought of from your story. Another thing is that I can be a bully. Like I was that kid, like, who, you know, you grow up kind of being tough, and then unintentionally, I know I was flippant when I was like, maybe they're just an asshole. Like, I've definitely had friends in my life who have been like, Mandy, you can be a little too much sometimes. You can be a little too, you know, a little too opinionated, a little too judgy. And I've done a lot of work, and I still have work to do on managing and like finding where that comes from and doing better. And luckily have saved those friendships, because you know what's at stake. People will only put up with that for so long. You can only make someone feel bad about themselves, you know, whether intentional or not, for so long. And I like to say I'm a bully, and I like to say I'm a judgy wudgy in rehab.
I was gonna say I don't feel like you're a bully, but I mean,
recovering, you know, judgy wudgy.
And I'm a recovering pushover. And like, you wouldn't think, like, running a company that you could be a pushover. Oh, it's quite possible. And so, good though to acknowledge, like, you know, how you can show up better in this world and how you're working on yourself. So it's not about perfection, but yeah. So I was just like, go, Tiffany, go. But it's also good to have, because honestly, like, you, friends had to tell me, like, what are you doing? You know? And I was like, hey, they're like, girl, no. Why are you letting people talk to you like that? I'm like, I don't know.
Or paying them to.
What? Not anymore, boo boo. Right? So, yeah. So, hey to all my bully friends. You want to be outside the club now, boo?
You're on watch if she hasn't dismissed you yet. You're on probation.
No, everybody's gone. that was a great show. I hope we inspired. I hope we taught. I hope we made you laugh.
It was the best show ever. Everyone was inspired. They all said it was great. I got millions of tweets about it.
Billion. The fake news will tell you nobody listened. It's all a lie. It's all a lie.
At least 1.5 million people listened to this episode. I have no facts to support it, but just shake my hand and smile.
Oh my gosh.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.